How many times, countless times, have we heard these words? Let's pray. Hundreds, maybe thousands of times. Let's pray. Sunday mornings. How many of you pray at every meal? Let's pray. Somebody says, let's pray. How many of you pray out loud when you're at a restaurant? How many of you pray quietly at a restaurant? But somebody determines, let's pray. You hear bad news and somebody says, let's pray. You hear good news and somebody will say, let's pray. And yet, Christians, in my 22 years of ministry, no question, this is the most often questioned consideration of Christian discipline, prayer. How is it that we pray? Praying together. That's what I've titled this discussion. And this morning, what I really want to do is not so much a lesson. We're going to record these because people have asked when we mentioned prayer so that you could listen to them, or others could listen to them that can't be in here. They're teaching and leading and the likes. Not this morning, though. I mean, we'll record this, but this morning, the goal here is not for me to get us all started on what we need to learn about prayer, but I want to just kind of build a context. And I thought to do that would be helpful to me. I'm a few lessons ahead of you, two or three lessons out in this preparation, but it's really helpful for me to be sure that I'm hitting the right targets among the sheep here. So I want to take just a couple minutes, just whatever, from wherever you might have a question or an observation about prayer, I'll log those in the bank, and I'll be sure that we try to get to something around those perspectives. So let me start by asking this question. How many of you as believers would say your prayer life is where you want it to be? Anybody? Because the point of that question being at the first is because I'm going to let you teach the rest of the series. I've never met a Christian who said, my prayer life is like right where I want it to be. I understand it. I benefit from it. This is what's happening because of it. So we all have some kind of question in and around prayer. So just think about that for a minute, and then let's hear. Let's hear from you. Tell me any observation, question, concern, something about prayer for this group. So we're talking to one another. Who wants to go first? Dave Hockenbrock. Okay, what is the prayer that God really wants to listen to? Okay? So one of the things we'll talk about, how do I pray in such a way that I can be confident that God wants to hear what I have to say and that I'm saying what I should be saying? So already you feel the weight of that, right? It's like, I didn't know how to think about prayer like that. I was like talking to my mom or my neighbor. Okay, who else? Anything about prayer? Yes. Yeah, good question. A couple things she said there. Sometimes we pray one way and sometimes we pray another way. And a part of that, though she may not be speaking that directly, part of that is the context you're in. So one of the questions we're going to deal with is there a distinction, should there be any difference between corporate prayer and private prayer? That's one of the things we'll talk about. Is there a difference between public prayer and private prayer? And if there is a difference, then do we do it differently? But then she also mentioned there the idea that we pray to God through Jesus, but is it okay to pray to Jesus? Good question. So that's something we'll talk about. Most of us teach our children to talk to Jesus. But Scripture seems to be really strong the other way, that we talk to God. And so even as we work through these weeks of prayer, we're going to run into some things that are going to challenge perhaps us at a different level, not a prayer level, but what is my understanding of God? And are there distinctions in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit that I need to be honoring? I don't want to dishonor the Godhead. And if prayer is something I'm doing all the time and maybe unwittingly am dishonoring the order of the Godhead when I do it by praying to Jesus all the time, I want to know, right? I want to know. I don't want to bring dishonor to God through an unwitting mistake that I thought was right. How many of you were ever or have ever heard somebody pray to the Holy Spirit? Ever? Yeah, it's pretty rare, though. It's not, I don't see a lot of heads doing this. So we don't often speak to the Holy Spirit. Is there a reason for that? Is it a good thing? Or are we, as some might suggest, in the more charismatic or Pentecostal camp, is that the reason we don't have more excitement and more effectiveness? Because we're talking to the wrong person. We should be talking to the Holy Spirit, telling the Holy Spirit what to do, or telling the Holy Spirit what we need. So these are important things. So we got the idea of different prayers in different places. And then who's the person that we're supposed to pray to? And is there an inappropriate way to do that? And I suspect that we're going to have to consider the Godhead in a more particular way, because that is, after all, who we're talking to. We're not talking to our mom. We're not talking to our best friend. We're not talking to our neighbor. We're talking to God. Okay, somebody else. Yes, Lydia. Yeah. So you have a crisis situation. Most common among us is we all get sick. We all have friends who get sick. People get sick and die. We have extreme sicknesses, cancer, those kind of things we think of, major surgeries. Okay, so do we pray for, here's the first, do we pray for that? And then if we pray for that, how do we pray for that? Do we ask for healing? Do we ask only that God's will would be done without expressing any interest we have? When it becomes clear that God's not going to heal, do we change our prayer then? Very important questions. Probably the one that comes up most often in a real practical application. How do I pray about these situations? And really, again, most common, there's usually a sickness in view there. What sicknesses do we pray for? Because you will rarely hear in a Bible study or a small group or in a group this size somebody say, you know, pray for me tomorrow. I've got this eyebrow just keeps getting out of whack, so I'm going to go have my eyebrows electronically shaped. You rarely would hear that. So we don't pray for every medical kind of thing. I don't know if that's even medical. That's what happens when your preacher doesn't have any notes. Page is blank. Do we pray for flus, or only when it seems like they're not getting over the flu? Why is it that typically, we only hear the really bad stuff? Why is that? So we're going to talk about that. What else? Yes. Yeah, do we pray only for people we know? Is prayer relational? Or are we supposed to pray for people we don't know, maybe even specifically certain groups of people, like do we pray for a nation? Do we pray for Christians around the world? Do we pray when we hear about a tornado in Mississippi? Or do we say, like, I don't know anybody in Mississippi? Why do we do that? Good question. Yes. Yeah, so God is not pleased when he considers a people who are not making intercession. And intercession is standing between the person and God, standing between a situation and God, and we're interceding on another's behalf. And God's not pleased when we're not doing that, so obviously we're supposed to do that, but is that, even back to her question, is that a different kind of prayer? Is a prayer of intercession different than a prayer of adoration? Are we supposed to put our prayers in boxes like that? And then, why are we interceding? Are we asking God to change something? Are we asking for the circumstance to be different? Do we imagine, she suggested, that we could change God's mind? Can we alter his will? And again, that's a practical question out of your everyday prayer life that's going to require us to spend some time in the weeks ahead to talk about the Godhead again and what is the character and nature of our God. And a part of that is he changeable? Can he change? Because if God can't change, then why do we spend so much of our time asking him to change his mind or his intention around a particular situation? So we're going to have to talk about that, much the way we talk about the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. We're going to have to talk about God's character and nature, because somebody already said, I want to pray in such a way, Dave, that he's listening and that I'm being consistent with who he is and what he wants. Okay, good questions. Somebody else. Miguel. Yes. Yeah, so Miguel's talking about the disconnect that happens in prayer if our will's not in some way lined up with his will. That's where the connection is made and the conversation takes place. if we're not interested in that or don't know that, then we're just asking questions. We're just making requests. And that shouldn't be foreign to us, because maybe you're different than me, but I have conversations every week where I'm wondering whether the guy over there is in the room, right? Are we like talking about the same thing here? And so if that happens here in a human way, where I can kind of understand human facial expressions and I can look and see whether or not there's any connection, how much more challenging when we pray to a God we cannot see and yet not acknowledge that we're not connected here. We're not connecting here. We're not talking about the same thing here. And that's much, again, of what Dave brought up at the first. We got to be on the same page here, singing from the same book, or it is not pretty. And therefore not effective, not what God wants. Okay? Not you yet, Shelby, but right in front of you. Yeah. This really could apply to every Christian discipline. And that is, when we are obedient, God in many ways and wonderful ways affirms our obedience through some measure of blessing or affirmation. It could be a myriad of things, but there is the reality that Christian disciplines, a Christian obedience to the will of God, produces effects in and around us that are profoundly blessed. And so here in particular, this Christian discipline or spiritual discipline and a matter of obedience, we are commanded to pray, has now produced a discernible, measurable blessing, and we want to give God the glory, but now we're not sure how to even talk about it. We're not sure how to even talk about it. And I would just say, we'll talk about that, but that applies to all of our Christian deportments, right? It's very difficult to look at the circumstance that you're in and around and not bring attention to yourself. And we're really right back in this morning's message, right? I want to declare the mighty works of God, and it's fine for me to do in my own life things that would be noticed by men, but it is not fine that God doesn't get the glory for it. So how do I talk about that stuff in such a way that God's glorified? And then his kingdom is advanced through the encouragement of, well, maybe somebody says, well, maybe I need to be more disciplined in my prayer life or all these other areas because I want that blessing from God. I want to enjoy that kind of a relationship. She talks about things I don't know anything about. But if she doesn't talk about them, then you don't know anything about them. So part of that all comes back together to praying together. What is it that we talk about together before we ever pray? What do we share? What do we not share? What do we boast of God doing? What do we not mention? And should it be the same for everybody? You know, there are some people who are very important to me, whose my relationship in my personal life is way up here, and I know just about everything going on in their life, right? And sometimes that can have its own burden, like I really did not need to know that you had a hangnail yesterday. But yet we do, and we share those things. But when you say, well, that's the kind of relationship I want with the church, and you'll hear pulpits and prayer podiums talk about it. Let's get close like that. You want to be close like that. And next thing you know, we're talking about everybody's hangnails. And it's like, no, that's not exactly what we meant. So there's a real challenge in how we talk and what we talk and who we talk to. And that's going to bring us back to the distinction between private prayer and public prayer. Because we have to be really careful before we pray what it is we're talking about or what it is we're hoping that someone might pray about. Because I got to be really careful that I don't, you five are really close to me and you know what's going on in my life and you are interested in my concerns and you want to share those concerns with me and where appropriate, take them to the Lord. But I got to be careful that circle, I don't imagine, reaches back there to Rebecca and I try to suck her into all that because that's tedious for her. I'm trying to draw her into a place closer to me than she's obviously comfortable. Otherwise, she wouldn't be sitting in the back. Now, I'm just using that as an analogy. That's not why she's sitting in the back. And these folks aren't really that close to me. But you understand what I'm saying? We have to be careful. You come into this big room, this corporate assembly, and we're going to pray together that I'm not trying to draw all of you or we're trying to draw each other. Do you feel that? Do you feel how much pain? No, I don't feel it. I just don't. Sorry. And now suddenly we feel our prayers hampered. One of the things that I talk about a lot, and we'll talk about some in here, is you got to understand we live in an age where there is a proliferation of information. We know everything. And the problem is, as human beings, when we get data, our minds respond to input emotionally. And we think we're supposed to feel something. And so I hear about a car accident that killed 6 people because somebody says, oh, have you seen this? And my humanity wants to feel that, but I'm not different than you. You can't feel it. I don't know them. There's car wrecks happen every day everywhere. Why are you asking me to feel this? And thereby to act in some way or respond in some way. All of that is not so much about our emotional makeup and not so much, it's about this. We have too much information. We are not, as human beings, capable of emotionally processing the data that we allow into our brains. And this doesn't sound like prayer, but I'm telling you, that's one of the reasons, one of the biggest reasons our prayer life is affected. Even going back to my generation, the generation before me, some of you are a little ahead of me in that generation, where we talked about prayer meetings, and what we were really doing is increasing the data. Just give me more input, and I'll pray better. But the fruit of that has not been good. We're not a praying people, and our prayers are not more effective because we're being invited to feel something at an emotional level, and more than that, at a heart level, because if it doesn't come from the heart, it's certainly not prayer, and I'm just not able to do that, and I get frustrated. I get really frustrated that I can't feel every hurt that everybody feels. And when you open up then to a public environment and you say, does anybody have any prayer requests? There is a sense in which we're now inviting all of you to feel something. I need you to feel something right now when Jeff tells us what he's going through. And then I'm going to invite us all together with one heart to pray for that. And I'm just telling you, if that's the way we're guiding our people, we are frustrating their prayer life. Because when they get in a car and you're honest with yourself, you don't have to get in a car. You're sitting here saying, I'm sorry, I don't feel it. I don't. I never met the guy till today. And then you'll start to feel like there's something wrong with your compassion. There's something wrong with you because you don't. Why don't you hurt the way I hurt when I read about this little boy? So these are all aspects that I would say comes down to one thing. The Bible says that we have to control our input. You are not, as a human being, capable of processing all the information that I know most of you are processing on a daily basis. And again, this is not your pastor's second time in a morning knock at social media, but I'm telling you, it is. You can't process all that stuff. And at the end of the day, here's what you're going to find out. Nothing matters. You live in a world where you believe everything matters. Nothing in the end will matter. Everything doesn't matter to you. So all of this we need to talk about in and around what it means to pray together. It's a challenge. It's difficult. All right, I got a sense there. Maybe you got your little hot topic you want to be sure we cover. Oh, wait, Shelby, you raised your hand. Yeah. She's describing an example in a Christian school. It could be anywhere for that matter. We pray before and we pray at the end. But again, it's this question of what are we doing here? We're praying that we're all alert, as though now God's going to make us alert, even though we were up all night and we're not alert. I pray they all do their best on the test, even though most of them have done nothing to bring their best to the test. And it gets very confusing. It all sounds like a lot of stuff. And in many ways, as we look in Scripture over the next few weeks, we sound an awful lot like the hypocritical Pharisees who believe that both God and man should be impressed because they use so many words. So many words. And at the end, they're not saying anything. Yes. Good question. And I already touched on that a little bit, but she's asking, how do I approach prayer? Should there be, she used the word formal, but really she moved in the direction of, is there a reverence here? Am I a sinner approaching the throne of a holy God? Or do I go there with that attitude that Jesus is my brother and God's my father? Because the Bible says both of those things. And more than that, the Apostle Paul says, because I'm a believer, I call him daddy. And so how does that then translate in my prayers? Because we're going to be careful there, right? Because even if we grab all of those identities that we or ways of identifying ourselves in our relationship with God, we certainly don't want to talk to him like he's the kid next door. We know that's not right. We know Jesus is not my homeboy. We know that's not right. But what is he and how do I talk to him? So we'll need to talk about that. All right. My page is blank, but your Bible's not blank, and I brought two texts just to give you an idea of where we're headed, and you can look ahead. But we're studying Ephesians together with the men and women, and in a couple of weeks we'll be here, but I'm here already. And right after he says the Christian should be in full armor, put on the whole armor of God, he says this, Ephesians 6, verse 18. praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Now, that one verse right there addresses about half of the questions we asked and probably broadens some of your perspectives on prayer and might narrow some of your perspectives on prayer, but I just want you to be encouraged. Most of these questions are going to find their resolve very clearly addressed in Scripture. So let's just look at that for just a minute. Pray at all times. Well, that's already a challenge, right? Because if prayer is kneeling, or prayer is bowing, or prayer is lifting our hands, or prayer is laying flat, and prayer is all that in the Bible, then how do I do that all the time? I'm driving down the road, right? It's 800 miles to my destination. My wife's already, she's been asleep since Woodburn. Always. Just me and God. So I think I'll pray. See, that's not a good idea. That's just not a good idea. So how can I pray at all times? Or is he saying, every time I pray, pray in the Spirit? And he's not saying pray at all times. Well, we've got to read our Bibles carefully, and we're going to start here. This is where we're going to start. Next week, we're going to start right here. This one verse. Now notice, with prayer and supplication. Is he distinguishing between prayer and request, which supplication just means, is that two different things? Or as you pray and make supplication. But certainly we say in our bulletins every week we have corporate prayer. Craig leads us every week in prayer, and it says adoration, thanksgiving, confession, and request. Wait, it's like, okay, is that four different prayers, or is that four aspects of a biblical prayer? Well, Paul's saying the same thing. Now notice this, we're doing it all the time in the Spirit. Now to that end, you need to be alert with perseverance. If you're going to do whatever he is saying about prayer, you're going to have to be alert and you're going to have to persevere. That tells me, every time I see perseverance in the Bible, this is what I read. Ain't going to be easy. Ain't going to be easy. If it's going to be easy, he wouldn't say persevere. He'd say, whoa, we're going to have a good time. Okay, he doesn't say that. He says persevere. So as you bring your struggle in this morning into this discussion, you bring your struggle in here, right? Welcome. That's what he says. It's going to be a struggle. Going to be a struggle when we work toward the end that Paul has in mind by the Spirit of God as it regards prayer. It's going to be a struggle. There's going to be some times you ain't going to want to do it. Persevere. There's going to be some times you do it and it doesn't turn out like you thought. What? Persevere. It's not going to be easy. I say it this way. I've said it this way to my kids, raising them in all kinds of different areas. I've said this to my kids. If it's easy, everybody would be doing it. Is everybody doing it? No. Not even all of us are doing it. Well, that's because it ain't easy. Now look at this. Making supplication for, look at that right there, all the saints. So there's some aspect of my prayer that should be about people I don't know. But I know something about them. Do you see that? I do know something about them. I do know something about them. I don't know them, but I know something about them. And what I know about them is the most important thing I could ever know about them. Right? I don't need to know how tall they are and whether or not they got a job. I don't need to know who their grandparents were. I don't need to know that they were adopted. I don't need to know any of that. I don't need to know if they lost their job. I don't need to know. What I do need to know is what I know. They're believers like me. They're believers like me. And I need to pray for them. And also look at this one. This is just kills me. What does he say right there? Pray for me. The Apostle Paul says, I want you to pray, and I want it to be right in the Spirit. And I'm urging you to all of that, and I know it's not going to be easy, and you need to include all the saints. It's a good place for a man to stop. But he didn't. He then said, I need you to pray for me. I'm asking you to pray for me. All right, so there you go. See, we start to piece this together. Is it okay to ask people to pray for you? I mean, that's a little selfish, isn't it? Paul didn't think it was selfish. Look at this. Pray for me. Oh, man. What is that deal? That the words may be given to me in opening my mouth to proclaim the mystery of the gospel for which I am in prison? Well, that's helpful, isn't it? Pray for me. Why? Well, because I'm in jail, dude. Get me out of this place. No. Pray for me. Why? Because I'm in jail, dude. And I know that right here is a tremendous opportunity for me to share the gospel. So pray that I would be faithful in that. And there goes about half your prayer list right there. Because you're praying for people to get out of jail. Paul is praying that people would be useful in jail. That's his prayer. So you see, we can learn so much here in just a couple of verses. He knows that when he's in jail, he's there as an ambassador. And here's what he prays. Open my mouth boldly, declare it boldly, declare me to say what I ought to say when I talk about the gospel, because I can mess every one of those up or any one of those up, and I will not be effective. And the Apostle Paul might be inclined like you and me to say, you know what, I go out there and I'm thinking this is my opportunity. Some of you talked to me just this morning and said, this is going on in my life right now, and I am anxious that this is that opportunity, and Pastor, I wish you would pray for me because I don't want to fail God in this opportunity. I just heard that right out there. And I'm thinking, man, that sounds just like the Apostle Paul. Because they never once asked me to change the situation. But they asked me that they could be used in that situation. And they also asked me because they know what? That I'm prone not to get it right. I am prone to blow these circumstances when they present themselves. So would you pray that God would give me bold clarity to declare the truth when I have that opportunity? Now, that'll occupy you right there. For a long time, that'll occupy you. So this is what the Apostle Paul says. Now, he says this. Look at verse 21. So that you also can know how I am and what I'm doing. That's just practical. His context is prayer. He wants you to pray for him that he could be bold while he's in jail. But, oh, by the way, I want to catch you up on the fact that what? I'm in jail. And it's lousy. There's nothing good about it. And I know, watch, I know you're concerned. I know you're concerned. So I hope to inform you of my situation. Because I want you to know how I am and what I'm doing. And so Tychicus, the beloved brother and faithful minister of the Lord, he's going to tell you, look at that, he's going to tell you everything. He's going to come to this church. He's writing to the church at Ephesus, probably all the churches at Ephesus. He's going to go from church to church to church with this letter from Paul, and he's going to tell everybody what's going on with the Apostle Paul. And you say, my goodness, we never would go home if Dave got up and told us everything going on with him, and you get up and tell us everything going on with you, and then everything going on with Matt, and everything going on with Steve. It's like, good, no wonder they went to church all day. No, we're learning something here. We're learning something here. What do we share with everybody? What do we make as a matter of corporate prayer? Here's your answer. You're getting a head start. Corporate concerns. Apostle Paul's not being selfish, but every believer that this letter would go to is concerned about the Apostle Paul because they know the Apostle Paul and he was their father in the faith. It affected everybody when they learned he was in prison. See that? It's not prayer request time so everybody can tell everybody everything that's going on because Paul did. No, it's prayer request time, and we're going to talk about the things that affect everybody. Corporate prayer is always for corporate concerns. It is never for individual concerns. Corporate prayer is always for corporate concerns. Now, that'll inform you. At prayer request time, what are we going to talk about? Things that affect everybody. Things that affect everybody. Now, he sent Tychicus for this very purpose. What purpose? So you'd know how we are. And he would encourage your hearts. So peace to you and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with love incorruptible. Now let me just say this, and we've got to get off this text real quickly. In the context of prayer, I said something earlier. We've got to think about what we pray, and we also got to think about what we say before we pray. And let me just say this. Prayer is for corporate concerns, but there must be some place in our Christian fellowship, one to another, one to three, six to four, there must be some place where we actually are concerned to know how we are. Should be some place that we're comfortable letting one another know how we are. All right, now, you say, well, we're from the South. We got that one. No, we don't. We just say, hi, how are you? While we're passing to get first in line for the cookies. Hi, how are you? But there's an element of this, there's an aspect of this that, that fuels our corporate prayer, that fuels even the very gospel, that I have to be actually concerned and care enough, and in some cases, right, bold enough to actually ask you how you're doing. I want to know how you're doing. I want to know what's going on. Now, I'm not, don't look at me and say, I want to do it the way Steve does it. I'm not the best model of this. Some of you would be far better models. But I am aware of this, and I understand my responsibility to try to lead in this. And many of you encourage me here. But I'm going to tell you, you just got to slow down a little bit. You don't have to see everybody. But you need to see somebody and find out what's going on. Catch up on them. Find out what's happening. Because that will inform your prayers. Will inform your prayers. It won't become your prayer, but it'll inform your prayers. It's a part of being compassionate. A couple of warnings here. Take the time, okay? Take the time. Don't feel like you got to touch everybody. Take the time. And then take the time with different people. Some of you talk to same people here every Sunday. I see you every Sunday, same people. Nobody else, same people every Sunday. Catching up on the same people every Sunday. You say, well, that's the people I'm close to. Well, talk to them on Thursday then. Catch up with somebody else when you're here. This is a unique opportunity in your week. You're here for about 2.5 hours, most of you. Make the best of it. Make the best of it. And if you find that when concerns are expressed or needs are floated around that you're not connecting, it's probably because you're not connected. Get connected. You hear somebody talking about Andrew Crabtree's cancer and the faith that he's seeking to manifest in the midst of that, and that there was an update just yesterday or last night, one, I got it, on his caring bridge. And you say, Andrew who? Well, find out. I'm not going to show you who he is. He's here. Find out. Find out. Find out what's going on. Do you see that? You need to know. You need to know. All right. Now, another text. We know this one, right? Now, Jesus was praying, and he was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, because John taught his disciples to pray. We're your disciples. Teach us to pray. And we know the prayer, right? Now, this is not the lesson for today, but just to tease you a little bit, notice what he said. What does he say? The disciples say, teach us to pray. What? Say it. It's right there. Teach. Let's do it. Let's do it together. Teach us to pray. He, the disciple, speaking for the disciples, did not say, teach us how to pray. Folks, I'm going to tell you, that's huge. Because we go here to try to find out how to pray. And that is not what the disciples wanted to know. They were not interested in some theological discourse of the technicalities of prayer. You know what they're concerned about? They're not. They're not praying. Some of you are so interested in how to pray that you're not praying. Right? Some of you are bold enough to admit it. Even in the past 2 weeks, three people, disparate individuals, came to me humbly, courageously, and at the same time, grieving. Because they'd been challenged in one way or another on how to pray. And you know what their reaction was? I'm done with that deal. I'm done with that deal. Right? Because I obviously don't get it right. So I'm just not. Just notice again, the disciples' interest here is not how to pray. It's that for some reason they don't. Jesus, teach me to pray. And what did he say? Pray this way. What's the first word? Pray. As far as we're going today, but let me just say this to you. You want to know how to pray? Pray. You wish you were praying? Just start right there. Just pray. So, well, I would if I knew how. Just pray. There's not anybody I'm looking at here that word is so foreign that you have no context for it. So take the context you have and do it. If your context is, I need to be by myself in that little place on my knees, then I would just encourage you to do it. If your context is, I'm gonna do it right here, right now, quietly, nobody will even know, then I just encourage you to do it. Because I submit to you that every one of you could have been every one of them, and I'm no different. Lord, I'm struggling here. Could you teach me to pray? And his first answer is what? Pray. Pray. Yes. You're a little ahead of us, but that's the question that was on your mind already, and there's the answer. But that's not all the answer. It's a good place to start, though. All right, that's enough. You gave me some questions. I hope your minds are kind of interested. I already know your spirit's interested here, if you're a believer. So we're going to take our time. The Bible is full of prayers. It's the only prayer book you'll ever need. And we're going to look at saints who God says were men and women of faith who faced circumstances that were not any different than the circumstances you face. And they prayed. And we're going to learn from their prayers and we'll benefit from their prayers. And this will be something that will challenge every one of us. And so I'm going to say this in closing. When you come to the Word of God seeking answers, you better come willing to hear them. All right? So there is a sense in which you must leave your preconceived notions about what God's intentions are at the door. And you come in here willing to submit yourself to the Word of God as it regards this essential element of what it means to be a Christian, and that is my prayer life. Okay? God will honor that. If you come in here to try to prove somebody wrong, me or anybody else, you ain't going to get nothing out of it. So come in here, submit to the Word of God, and let it teach you how to pray effectively. All right, we're done. You're dismissed.